right. So, for those of you who are just tuning in, this is The Real World. It is UBC Film Society's movie, UBC Film Society's radio segment, where every week we talk about all things film related. And as per usual, you're listening on CITR 101.9 FM, which is broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. So not only do we host this radio show, we also have various screenings throughout the week and lots more movie-related events that you can find out about via our Instagram at UBC Film Society. And this week coming up, we have a beer garden tomorrow at 7 with doors at 6:30. And on Sunday, we're screening the Oscars at 4 with doors at 3. So we hope to see you at either or both of those events. But for today, we have a very special guest. First time on the radio.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yep. My name's Naomi. I am Hannah's roommate. And a fan of one of the films that we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. So we can't wait for Naomi to bring her perspective. Yeah. And we're so grateful to have her on The Real World.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a absolute blast because today we are talking about Rachel Sennett movies.
Woo!
Yippee. Very exciting. She's one of my favorite actresses. Cannot wait to break down her filmography. But before we can jump into Sennett land, we got some... PSAs, some ads, as per usual. So we're going to play those and then we'll get right back.
We are UBC Electronica and we love electronic music sessions.
Run for them life when I step into the jungle.
We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email, ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Is the simple joy of riding a bike missing from your life? No worries. Ride On Bike Shop has got you covered. Ride On has the best deals in town for new and used bikes, top-notch servicing, and all the parts or accessories you've been dreaming about. Whether you've got a little one who needs to learn how to ride, or if you're about to go on the Tour de France, Ride On is the place for you. We'll also happily pick up your old bikes and recycle them back into the community. Located on 2255 West Broadway, we are open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. from Tuesday to Saturday. That's R-I-D-E-O-N Bike Shop. See you there.
You've been troubled. You've been broke. You've been hungry. No job, no money. The one you loved has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue, right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man. Good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
Did you know that community radio stations in Canada broadcast in more than 65 different languages? This is where stories come alive and where we come together. But as big international media dominates the spotlight, local news and local voices struggle to be heard. Our government must help these local stations continue to do what they do best, serve the unique needs of our communities. We're asking you to go support the Community Radio Initiative at mycri.ca. Stand with us for community radio future.
All right. So, as mentioned before, this week we are talking about Rachel Sennett movies, which is very exciting. So I think, what do you guys, like, when did you first sort of interact with Rachel Sennett, do you think?
I think my first watch was Well, actually, I don't know. I think it was Bodies, 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 which is what we're going to be talking about first. I think, you know, she definitely stands out in that film a lot. And then I think after that, I watched Shiva Baby, which those are the two I've seen that we're talking about today. I think and then after that, I feel like she, with Bottoms coming out, just became a lot more aware of her. And I think whenever there's something kind of iconic going on, she's just somehow involved.
Jocelyn's always at the scene of the crime.
Yes, she is.
It's crazy. Like, I feel like I'd never heard of her before a few years ago, but then, like, out of nowhere, it seemed like she just got this, like, meteoric rise to fame.
Yeah.
So interesting. And I think it helps, like, how active on, like, social media she is.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely... Yeah, I will say, very parasocial for her.
I gotta say,
like, every time I see her post, I'm like, oh my god, Rachel, like, another banger, as if I know her at all.
Do you comment?
I haven't quite hit that point yet, but...
Good.
maybe, who's to say? Who's to see how the rest of the semester will shake out? Maybe I'll start commenting on her posts, hoping she'll respond to me or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as mentioned, we're probably going to kick it off with Bodies, 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 mm-hmm. which is a 2022 film from Helena Rein, who also directed Baby Girl,
yes.
which, I don't know, have you guys seen?
I have seen it. I have.
Thoughts?
Have you, Naomi?
I have not.
No. I liked it, but... It didn't stick out to me. I saw it as I did a double feature with Nosferatu, and I thought I was gonna like Baby Girl more, but I liked Nosferatu more.
Fair. Nosferatu is hard to top.
It's hard to top.
It's a freaky double feature, though.
Very freaky. It was an interesting day. I don't know. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies versus Baby Girl. I don't know. They're so different.
Yeah.
They're so different. But I do really like Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it with a friend. We were having, like, a sleepover. And we were kind of like, oh, what do we watch? We'll just put this on, whatever. And, there were times when I was watching it where I was like, okay, like, I don't really know where this movie's going.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what my thoughts are on it right now. But in the end, I thought it was really funny. And that Rachel Sennett is, and a lot of people agree, like, the film itself was kind of met with mixed reviews.
Yeah.
But consistently, it was said that Rachel Sennett was, like, the best part of this movie. And her performance, just, like her humor and her delivery of, like, all her lines, which, there's one line in particular that I love, which I'll talk about later. But she does such a good job of, like, embracing the whininess and the annoyingness of her character.
Oh, yeah.
And I think she really makes the film. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, she's definitely the, like, comedic core of the movie, it feels like. Like, other people are funny and they have their jokes, but whenever she's on screen, I'm like, yeah, it's gonna be, like, a riot.
Yes.
Because I feel like this is definitely a good movie to watch with someone, though. Like,
yeah.
'Cause I watched this by myself, and I definitely don't think I enjoyed it as much. But I think that's partially because I saw it, like, on my own, like, just on, like, my phone. I was like, all right, like, I guess that's that. But
yeah.
I find, like, locked room mysteries are so, like, hit or miss for me. Like, I really like Clue. I think that one's a ton of fun.
I've not seen it.
It's really good.
Okay.
Tim Curry goes crazy in that one. It's such a blast.
Is Rachel Sennett the, like, Tim Curry of Bodies, Bodies, Bodies? Like, what he is to Clue, ooh, she is to Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
In terms of iconic performances, I'd say,
yeah.
There's definitely comparisons to be drawn there in terms of, like, level of cunt being served.
Oh, yes.
Definitely on that level.
Okay. okay, well, I agree. It's a good movie to watch with someone because you can, like, react together.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll have to do a movie night at home, Naomi.
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay.
Yeah, get on that Bodies, Bodies, Bodies grind. Because
I hate saying the title.
I know.
It takes so much time.
It's the worst. Like, that or, like, anything. Any long title or, like, two words. Like, I need to shorten that.
Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Also, Pete Davidson is in this movie.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that, like, Pete Davidson in this movie is, I think, playing himself in this scenario. Like, if he was in, like, a murder game thing, like you said, locked room mystery, like, I think this is literally what would happen. Well, yeah. Just, like, he does the most Pete Davidson thing he could possibly do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without spoiling anything.
That makes
sense. He's just very on brand.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, this movie has quite the, well, not quite the soundtrack, but the score is really interesting and like intense and creepy, and yeah. But also like very like techno,
yeah,
inspired.
Ooh.
Yeah,
it's really a fun score and soundtrack.
Well, yeah. Yes, because there's an iconic song,
yeah,
which is Charlie XCX,
of course,
Hawk Girl. Have you heard the song? Mm-hmm.
Bodies, yes. Bodies. So,
Parentheses, bodies. Yes. Even longer title. Naomi, you haven't seen the movie, but you've heard the song. What do you think of the song?
I mean, I feel like it's like a lot of like Charlie XCX's music. It just gets you in sort of a rhythm. And like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I feel like the movie is very like,
yeah,
it fits. The song makes a lot of sense for the movie, mm-hmm. I think
like a big strength of the movie is how much it leans into this kind of like oversaturated feel. Like mm-hmm. everything feels like so much all at yeah. once. Like even the house feels like it's like there's so much happening. Like mm-hmm. it's so like densely decorated, and like everyone's outfits are so like bright.
Yeah, and like the glow sticks.
Yeah.
And they're like wearing glow sticks, and it's like all the power's out.
Yeah.
And there's so many like kind of like hidden, I don't know if hidden is the right word, but like rooms that are like tucked away and like mm-hmm. hallways that seem like they kind of go to nowhere. And
yeah, like it's really interesting how they make, like the house is huge obviously, but how they really make it feel like even bigger than it is.
Yeah, and somehow like it's huge because it's like as the characters are like going through the house, you're like, oh my god, like how many more rooms can they go to? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think it's very like claustrophobic because mm-hmm. it's dark, and so it kind of it feels like it ups the ante of like the scariness, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I also really enjoy like how the friend group kind of interacts. Oh my god. I think it's like, I think like you see them and you're like, oh my god, I know people who are exactly like this. Like it's like you see people like posting on like Instagram or something with like all their friends. It's like, oh, I know you all hate mm-hmm. each other.
Yeah, that's like, very much what the friend group is like in this yeah. movie. And then throw in some murder.
Yeah.
It's a fun time.
Exactly. It's just like watching the friend group unravel. It feels very like realistic.
Yeah. What do you think about this movie as like a representation of Gen Z? Because I know that there was some sort of like, that was definitely a conversation that people were having about this yeah. movie is like, oh, it goes too far. But I think it's also important to note like this is a satire. Like it's,
yeah,
like it's a parody in a way, right? Yeah. Like,
I think it functions like as a satire. I think more like, I don't know, it doesn't feel as Gen Z specific as it does like to this like one specific like region, like sort of like, oh, NYU mm-hmm. like graduate, you know, like living off their parents' money, like yeah. that sort of thing. Like it feels like a very specific niche and less of a more like wide jab at Gen Z, which I think is mm-hmm. probably why it like works for yeah. me, at least, because I find like with these movies that are like, oh, we're satirizing Gen Z, it's like, okay, you're just like using TikTok words that yeah. you heard once.
Yeah,
it's not
you're not
working.
Even using them right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I think especially like you have to consider this movie and the fact that it's specifically like a critique of wealth and like you said, like those like Gen Zs or even like young millennials, I think, who are like living off of their wealthy parents and mm-hmm. but can't admit that yeah. they have wealth, or like their image is like kind of contrasting to their wealth, but it's only possible because of their wealth, you know?
Yeah.
And I think one of the best like lines in the movie, like I said, is delivered by Rachel Sennett's character Alice. Mm-hmm. And she's talking to, oh, it's so funny. She's talking to another one of the characters. I don't remember exactly who, but they're kind of all like comparing, like, oh no, I have it worse than you, and like
trauma Olympics.
Yeah, kind of. Like a little like I don't know what you want to call it, but one girl is like, no, like I have it so much worse than you, blah blah. All you do is like worry about your little podcast that you have, and like, and she's like, it's hard to have a podcast, but then they keep sparring with each other, and she says, Rachel Sennett's character, she says to this other girl, and it's like the most like biting insult that she could say. She's like, your parents are upper middle class.
It is in the context of the movie crazy, like just end.
It's so funny. Yeah. And like when I think about this movie, I automatically think about that line.
Oh yeah. I like that just like should just be like the tagline or something for this movie. Yes. It feels like it absolutely like sums everything up.
Well, and the girl is so offended, not because she's like doesn't want to be that, but because she's like, or well, she doesn't want to be that because she thinks she's saying she's just middle class, right? Yeah. And she's like,
she's a struggling artist.
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, and she's out on her own, and Alice is like, no, you're upper middle class. Your both of your parents are professors or something. It's so funny. Yeah. It's just.
Yeah, Rachel Sennett is an absolute scene stealer in this movie. Like, I feel like this wasn't the first I'd heard of her, but this was one of the first times I really conceived of her as like a big like presence. Feels like as like a comedic force to like watch out for.
Yeah,
because this really shows off her acting chops in like this sort of slasher context. Like, I would love to see her do more like this in the future, because I know she hasn't really done anything like this since. Which I mean, hard niche to replicate, fill, but I think I'd definitely like to see her as like sort of like scream queen. I could definitely
like a final
see
girl.
Oh yeah, like you know we've got sort of like the next generation happening. We've got like Jenna Ortega like establishing herself. Like I wouldn't mind to see Rachel Sennett along those lines. Like
I think I know what you should Instagram comment on our next post. You should pitch this movie.
There we go. Yeah, I think. You sold me.
Yeah.
I'm about to make my relationship so much more parasocial. Like,
or real. Crazy. She could respond.
Yeah. You know, I like the way you think.
Yeah.
I like the way you think.
Yeah. Aspirational. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So what song are we going to play today?
We are going to play Hot Girl, Bodies, 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 which I think it's a banger.
Charlie XCX.
As per usual, this will not be the last we hear of Charlie XCX. Little teaser for later. Whoa. But in the meantime, here is Hot Girl, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies by Charlie XCX off the Bodies, Bodies, Bodies soundtrack. So we'll be right back after this.
Yeah. You just wanna be me.
All right. That was Hot Girl, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies by Charlie XCX off the Bodies, Bodies, Bodies soundtrack. So we're going to be moving on to our next film, which is Bottoms, a 2023 film directed by Emma Seligman, who I got to say, she is one of my like favorite working directors.
Yeah.
I love her so much because she also did Shiva Baby, which we'll be talking about later, and is a total tonal shift from Bottoms.
Yeah.
Like, they could not be further apart. But for those of you who haven't seen Bottoms somehow, it's about...
Both of us. Me and Naomi have both not seen it.
No shade thrown to anyone in this room who may or may not have seen it. But it is about PJ and Josie who start a fight club to try and hook up with their crushes. So very much in, like, this realm of, like, early 2000s, like, super bad sort of, like, high school comedies, mm-hmm. which... I don't know if you guys have seen, like, Superbad.
I have.
Yeah, I do. Do you enjoy?
I liked Superbad? It.
Yeah. This is, like, Superbad, but, like, if it was just that much better. Like,
it was super good.
Exactly. That should be the tagline. I'm telling you, you got, like, a future in this, man. You got to start getting out there and, like, developing these, because there you
comedy
go.
Comedy writing.
Hire me.
Literally. You too can start bugging Rachel Sennett in her comments.
Okay.
Tag team.
Should we
awesome.
Make like a joint account?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
Hell yeah. Summer plans.
Yeah. But yeah, Bottoms.
Yeah. This is actually Rachel Sennett co-wrote this mm-hmm. with Emma Seligman, which is really cool because I think both of them play off each other like so well and like have such an understanding of how to do like this dry, almost absurd comedy in a way that never reads as contrived or like over the top. It's like you recognize that this is very much just like a pastiche of high school. It's like they're like, oh, we got the big football game coming up and everyone's mm-hmm. all about the football game. And there's just like, there's all these background gags happening constantly that just aren't addressed, that are just so out there. Like, there's one scene where they're all sitting in a classroom and one of the football players is just, like, in a cage in the back. And, like, we don't talk about this.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
He's just in there. You're, like, detention or something. I don't even know. He's just in the cage. And then, like, the scene plays as normal. He's just doing his work while also being in this cage.
Okay,
and
what?
There's all these little, like, background bits because I think I've seen this, like, two or three times now. It's like every time you rewatch it, you're like, oh, okay, there's something batshit crazy happening in, like, you know, the left corner of the screen that no one's going to talk about. And I think it just makes the movie like that much more fun.
Yeah.
This is definitely one of those movies, though, that's like so much fun to watch with friends.
Yeah.
Or like even if like you've seen it, like watching people for their reactions. Mm. Like this is, it just, it's infinitely rewatchable. Or like to put on like in the background of like a party or something like that. It's like, it's going to be a good time.
Okay.
You know?
Did you see it in a theater the first time?
I didn't actually, which is devastating because I really wanted to, but I think it was, yeah, because it came out like while I was out here. Mm. So I don't think I got around to seeing it, but I watched it like the moment it came out on streaming.
Yeah.
And it was just immediately like, God, I wish I saw this in theaters. Like if I get the opportunity to see this in theaters, I will be taking that.
Yeah.
Because this was my top film of 2023. Like probably one of my top films like ever, honestly.
Also, I can't believe it's like, it was 2023. Like I feel like I was just, which I mean, we're only at the beginning of 2025, but
oh, I know.
It's like I feel like I was just hearing about it and it's already like technically 2 years old, kind of.
It's crazy. I think it came out like Christmas, like November or something, 2023. So it's been like...
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So not 2 years old.
No.
No. But I want to see it. It's been on my watch list because I really am a big fan of Io Debris.
Yeah.
Who's also in it alongside Rachel Sennett.
Oh my
and
God.
Yeah, the two of them are like really good friends and frequent collaborators.
Mm-hmm.
They had a like digital series on Comedy Central in 2020 called Io and Rachel Are Single. And I have not seen any of it, but they co-wrote and co-starred in it together. And then they also had another, like, I think it was maybe a comedy special that was called Taking the Stage, mm-hmm. Again, on Comedy Central. And, yeah, they're really good friends. Like, you know, they're frequently, like, seen at events together, you know, hanging out. And obviously I worked on this together, which I feel like must have been so much fun on that set.
Oh, I would do anything to be on that set. Like, I can't even imagine how much of a blast it must have been. Yeah. Especially like,
and then having Emma.
Oh my God.
Seligman. Yeah. I don't know how to say her last name, but on there, who is also friends with Rachel Sennett. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like the three of them, when they like get together, is just such a tour de force. Like it is, I would do anything to see those three make a movie again together. I really hope they do, because even like Iowa Debris and Rachel Sennett, they just absolutely shine in this, like as the two leads. Because it is very much like, it feels like one of those movies where the two leads are both lead characters. Like sometimes you get movies with like split leads where you're like, okay,
this
one of
one's
these
getting
leads
more
is like, yeah, clearly the focus. But these two are like so evenly like distributed, and like they're like their strengths and weaknesses just play off each other so well that it really feels like a dual lead movie, which is so hard to do, I find.
Well, that's so good that it works, though, especially because, you know, their friendship in the movie is, I'm sure, like very central to the plot.
Yeah.
And so it's like they have to be equally developed, because you need to know why they're friends with each other.
Yeah.
Right?
And these two are very believable as friends. Like in the movie, they've been like friends for years or whatever. And you feel that, like you're watching them and it feels like hanging out with like, oh, this is like a best friend I've known since like grade two or something.
Aww.
And there's so many little like improv bits, especially like there's one scene. They're like, Rachel Sennett's character and Iowa Debris' character are sitting in a car, and like Iowa Debris is like lamenting this like future that she's like, dream, or like it's like her nightmare, you know, and she's like, oh, I'll be in this like lavender marriage and our son's gonna hate us and you'll have to come visit us on Sundays.
Oh my God.
And like it, she just goes on and on. Apparently the whole bit was just like improvised, and you can kind of see like Rachel Sennett like trying not to lose it,
because
it's so much fun. Like, and there's a blooper reel at the end.
Oh, okay, that's so,
reel
that's
at
fun.
The end,
that really makes it like a high school movie. I see why you say like, oh, the reminiscent of like something like Super Bad along those lines.
No, it feels very like circa 2009 or something like that. Like this should have been released on like DVD, you know.
Aww,
I should have had to rent this at Blockbuster. I should not have been able to go like stream it on Amazon or whatever.
Dang.
Yeah. And honestly, this is one of those movies where like ensemble cast goes crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I cannot speak highly enough about like all the talent in this film and on the score. Charlie XCX.
She did the score.
Yeah.
Wow. With another collaborator whose name I don't know off the top of my head, but I thought that was really, because originally, Rachel Sennett was like thinking like, oh, okay, she's just going to do like one song, like what she did for Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. But then it turned into her doing the whole score, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But do you want to talk about the needle drop that
we absolutely do?
Yeah.
Canadian icon Avril Lavigne with the song Complicated.
Oh,
at this like moment, like, you know, Josie and PJ, they're kind of going through a rough patch. You see them both like struggling through it on their own, and Avril Lavigne is playing over top. And again, it is the most early 2000s thing you have ever seen. It is amazing, incredible montage sequence. I cannot speak highly enough about it. And we're gonna play a little bit of Complicated for you guys, as if you haven't heard the song forever. But you know, never
it's
hurts.
A classic. I had an Avril Lavigne CD, not this album, but
as you should.
A different one.
Canadian
the one with like
passage.
Girlfriend on it.
Oh, a banger. Well, here is Complicated by Avril Lavigne. You know her, you love her, and now you're gonna hear her.
Life's like this. That's the way it is. What you yelling for? Lay back, it's all been done before. And if you could only let it be, you would see. I like you the way you are. When we're driving in your car and you're talking to me one-on-one, but you become somebody else, round everyone else. You're watching your back like you can't relax. You're trying to be cool. Yeah. dressed up like you're something else. Where you are and where it's at, you see, you're making me laugh out when you strike your pose. Take off all your preppy clothes. You know you're not fooling anyone when you become somebody else. Don't everyone else, you're watching your back like you can't relax. You're trying to be cool, you look like a fool to me. Tell me why the hell you're gonna make things so complicated. I see the way you're acting like you're somebody else, get to me frustrated.
Complicated by Avril Lavigne. You know it, you love it, a banger. And we're going to be moving on to our third film mm-hmm. of the episode, and perhaps our most seen film.
Yes, yeah. All three of us have seen it.
All three of us have seen it, Naomi, and all three of us love it.
Yeah, would you like to tell us which film we're talking about next?
We are talking about Shiva Baby.
Hell yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. So Shiva Baby was Emma Seligman's directorial debut yes. out of NYU. And my God.
Yeah. It's excellent.
What a debut. Like, this is yeah. just like a 90-minute, just absolute whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
And I, when did you guys like first encounter this film, do you think?
I watched it last fall, so like 2023, mm-hmm. the first time. And then I rewatched it like about a month or two ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to remember when I first watched it. I think maybe like 2022, like beginning of grade 12, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say I probably watched it around the same time. Yeah. I definitely wasn't there when it like came out. Like,
no.
This is not like a release day thing for me, but I love it like so much. I can't believe it took me that long to get around to seeing it, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this is really what like brought both Emma Seligman and Rachel Sennett into like the public eye,
for sure,
because yeah. I know Rachel Sennett got a ton of praise for her performance in this, which is absolutely deserved.
Yes,
like, I don't know what like the most standout part of this was for you guys, but that was definitely one of the aspects for me.
Yeah, her performance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and she actually like was the lead, she played the lead role of Danielle in the 2017 short film version mm-hmm. of this movie. It started out as a short film. And yeah, both Seligman and Sennett were students at NYU. Yeah. And that's how they kind of got together. And then, yeah, for her to play that role again in the feature, I think, there was probably no doubt in Emma Seligman's yeah. mind of, like, oh, I found the right person for this role.
Oh, yeah. If you have a talent, like Rachel Sennett at your disposal, you can't not use that. Like,
totally.
Her nonverbal acting is really what like makes this for
and
me.
Like so much of it is really just looking at her face. So many of the shots are just her face, so she has to do so much in terms of facial acting.
Yeah, like honestly, that's, I feel like that's where Rachel Sennett always excels. It's her, like, her face is so expressive. Like, she does these little like eyebrow raises throughout the movie. It's like, oh my god. Just so insane. Like, because the way this movie shot feels very like claustrophobic. Like, to me, it's kind of like the antithesis of Bodies, Bodies, Bodies with the house. Like, it just feels like it's constantly like pressing in and shrinking and getting smaller, and there's like nowhere for Daniel to run. Where like in Bodies, 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 there's so many places to run, but like this, it's like everything just seems like a little bit too tight, like uncomfortable, just a little bit too warm. It's just, oh
yeah, that's a good descriptor.
Thank you.
Well, I like that a lot.
Do you want to give us some background into like the kind of the story, like what's happening?
Yes. So it's about a young, sort of directionless college student who is attending, basically, like there was a Shiva service and that she did not attend, and she's attending basically the brunch that happens afterwards at the home of like the deceased person's family. And so she arrives with her parents and she encounters both her sugar daddy, the guy that she's been secretly sleeping with, and her ex-girlfriend from high school, along with a host of other people who want, you know, to get a piece of her story and sort of pester her about her career and such things. And it's just like, there's also a baby, which is part of the title, pun of the title. It's the sugar daddy's wife's baby, and it cries throughout the movie.
Yes.
In sort of an intense way. So there's just like a lot of things going on that all seem to revolve around her and kind of provoke all of her anxieties and insecurities about herself.
Yeah, and I feel like you're very much experiencing it from her point of view. So all of those things that are stressing her out stress you out too as an audience member. And yeah, I think one of the, obviously her performance is a huge part of that, but also a lot of it, I would say, has to do with the score, which is just like, oh my gosh, so intense. It's all strings, and it's just like the most, like, it's kind of like if you, it obviously sounds really good, but it's when you think of like a kid learning violin for the first time and they're just trying to get some noise out of it, and it's like that kind of screeching screeching sound, and it's so incredible. And the score is done by Ariel Marks, who was also an NYU student but did not know of Emma Seligman before working on this film. And in fact, the short film was entirely scoreless. There was no music, and originally the feature was going to be as well, but then it kind of evolved, and I think it's better for it with the score. But it's still used
sparingly.
Like, it's not, it doesn't take away from anything. It does what a score should do, which is work with the every other aspect of the film.
Very much an undercurrent of it.
Yeah.
Rather than something too dominant.
And the way that, the score came to be. I know, Naomi, you maybe wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research into it because, you know, it's plucky, it's dissonant, like it never resolves, that sort of a thing. And like going back to some clips from this movie, I looked at the Wikipedia page about Ariel Marks, and it had to say basically that Marks was like inspired by klezmer music in creating the score, which is traditional Jewish music originating from Eastern Europe that came to the United States with a lot of immigrants, which is really cool music. I highly recommend, if you know nothing about klezmer music, that you watch this documentary film called A Jumping Night in the Garden of Eden. I saw it myself very recently, and it just makes klezmer music, a very, very niche genre of music, like seem like rock and roll and like cool. So plug to that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I think we got to hear some of this score now, you know?
Yes. So
so much.
We're playing Anxiety Attack.
Yes, we are.
By Ariel Marks.
Off of the Shiva Baby score.
Yeah. Very appropriately titled.
Yeah. Here's Anxiety Attack. A little taste of Anxiety Attack by Ariel Marx off of the Shiva Baby score, which, I mean, I'm sure it was as stressful for you guys as it was for us in the studio. We're all sitting like kind of on edge.
Yeah, we have the lights off in here and it's just like, it was very intense.
Yeah. And it's even more intense in the film. So if you haven't seen it, I cannot recommend enough. Go out and watch it. 90 minutes. Beautiful, quick and easy.
And one more thing.
One more
thing. My dad just texted me and said, I love klezmer music.
Yes.
So there you go. There's a fan.
Here we go.
Oh, and he sent me an artist on Spotify. So
there we go.
Got something to check out after this.
Yeah.
You found your niche.
Mm-hmm. For our last thing that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
A little different.
It's not a film, actually. It is a music video by the one and only Charlie XCX, 360 off the Brat album. Mm-hmm. Rachel Sennett featured in it, which I feel like this is, like, considering Shiva Baby came out in, like, 2019, and this is, like, what, like, 5 years later that Charlie XCX releases Brat? Like, yeah. That is a crazy short amount of time mm-hmm. to go from, like, basically, like, having your first huge like feature role to being in the music video of one of the biggest artists of today.
Yeah. And this was a Grammy nominated music video as well.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I know that's a crazy like trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it makes a lot of sense like for them to know each other and be fans of each other and for their fans to overlap a lot. It's like,
yeah,
it seems like a given. Like I said, Rachel Sennett will be near or adjacent to anything that's kind of, I think, popular or iconic.
Yeah. I see the whole like kind of messy girl vibes mm-hmm. between them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even like how much Charlie XCX has come up for like, you know, she did the score for Bottom. She was on the soundtrack for Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Like this is very much not their first interaction at all. And it seems like such like a well-made match. Like,
yeah.
It absolutely, yeah, like you were saying, Naomi, it like absolutely tracks that they'd be like in close proximity to each other.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, yeah.
reading about the music video a little bit and just a fun little, one journalist likened the music video to a vignette of what the Last Supper would have looked like if Jesus and his disciples were modern day It Girls.
Wow.
So there you go.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And also, Chloe Sevigny is also in the music video among many other people. But it's said online that she did not know who Charlie XCX was.
Oh my God.
And she only agreed to make a cameo when she found out that Rachel Sennett was in the music video.
Oh my gosh.
The power of Rachel Sennett.
Rachel Sennett got, just by being in it, got Chloe Sevigny to agree to be in the music video.
That is wild. To me. Oh my God.
Isn't that, that's very telling, I feel like. There we go again with that kind of overlap of fan bases and the messy girl image that is mm-hmm. is Brat and fits Rachel Sennett. And yeah. I just thought that was such an amazing kind of statement. Like
she has power.
She does. Yeah. She does.
I think we gotta hear a little bit a brat to play a song.
360.
Yes. Yeah.
If so. You don't know the song, what are you doing?
Yeah. Were you listening to music during the summer if you don't know 360? Doubt it. But here it is, our second Charlie XCX track of the episode. This is 360 off the album Brat by Charlie XCX. And that was 360 by Charlie XCX off the album Brat, bringing to a close our episode on Rachel Sennett.
Yeah.
So this has been an absolute blast. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, Naomi. Thank you, Naomi.
Such a great time.
Thank you for coming on and bumping that with us.
Yeah. It's been, as per usual, we'll be back same time, same place, same name, 4 to 5, the real world. You know it. You love it. I've been Emma, will continue to be Emma.
Same here, but Hannah.
and same here.
Naomi. Yeah. We'll have to get Naomi back one day.
Oh yeah.
To talk about the next round of Rachel Sennett movies that come out and will inevitably be, as we said, iconic.
Exactly. This is just the start of what I imagine will be an absolutely meteoric career.
Yeah. So. I think she's just gonna keep getting bigger.
Oh yeah.
And I think she has such a great eye for projects that she does. So.
Yes. Very discerning. I cannot wait to see what she does next.
She's producing, writing, and like starring in some sort of like, she pitched a pilot. I think it's going places. Yeah. Ooh. So I think that we can talk about that next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll definitely be a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for a part two in the
Rachel Sennett
foreseeable
cinematic
future.
Universe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
RSCU.
Thank you guys.
All right. We'll see you all next week.